Well, the Lord be with you. I also can say this morning, Dios te bendiga, which means God bless you or God be with you. So blessed to have our brothers and sisters with us this morning. As Mike said, we have Jose and his wife Olga and then their children Alan and Cammy this morning. And Jose gave us a great update this morning to kind of just let us know what's been going on with the mission, some of their challenges, some of their needs, and then some things they're looking forward to. And as many of you know, though we are a smaller congregation, we have the privilege of being able to support six different mission partners. And so we get to have them come somewhat annually, depending on certain mission groups. And this is the first time we get to have our brothers and sisters from Mexico here with us this morning. And because of Russ and his relationship with them, this is one of the groups that we actually intentionally try to go above and beyond with by trying to go there and scheduling at least 1 to 2 mission trips every single year. So the past few years, that's what we've been doing. And I know those who are wearing their shirts this morning have been blessed to be able to go on some of those trips and see kind of what's going on there in Acuña and the surrounding areas. And so we are excited about what they're doing there. And whenever I've gotten to go, and some of you have seen our mission reports when we come back, you've seen that Jose is actually the one who translates primarily for us. And so whenever I'm preaching to some different congregations, Jose is usually right there up there with me, and he's basically hopefully saying what I'm saying, and that hopefully I don't get booed off the stage or they don't start trying to get rid of me because of something either I said or Jose said. And then if for some reason there's a problem, then Olga steps in and solves it for us. But also, it's funny, is actually, I think, was it the first, maybe one of the first, not the first time, but when I met them, I think actually Alan translated for me for one of the first services as well after meeting them. So he actually translated one of the sermons for me as well. So just so thankful for them and their willingness to serve, their heart for ministry. And above just translating for us, really, we wouldn't have a Mexico missions ministry if it wasn't for them and what they do. And there's just, I mean, we wouldn't have projects. We wouldn't even know what's going on, what some of the needs are if it wasn't for them. And they do so much more than even what we are able to do in the short amount of time that we are there. But they're constantly bringing in resources, partnering, supporting local churches, orphanages, school systems, just so many different things that I could go on and on. But I'm just so grateful that they are here. We do want to give them love and support. So please make sure you say hello to them this morning as maybe you're departing. But with that being said, would you just make Jose welcome as he comes up here, Jose?
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, we're so glad to be here for first time. My name is Jose Barastegui. I'm from Mexico, and I've been in the United States since 2002. Today, my family, Olga, my wife Olga, Alan, Camila are here with us, and we're all involved in the ministry. We start doing missions, we start getting involved in the mission field, my son and I, in 2014. A few years later, the Lord started opening doors, and we start our own ministry in 2018. The fields we help and serve are 9 local churches, homeless shelter, an orphanage, a rehab center with 130 interns, a woman's ministry, which my wife is part of this area. It's called Mi Vida Hermosa, My Beautiful Life. They do monthly outreaches to the Boys Town and the Red Light District. They do outreach to prostitutes on that area. My wife helped in the transition to establish this ministry in Mexico. This ministry is already established in Texas in different cities, but she was part of this transition. And it's very powerful see the change and transformation of the ladies start looking for a better life. Basically, the ministry is to establish a relationship with them until they leave that environment. Also, we lead tours twice a year with missions. We have a Asbury team every year, and then of course the team from this church, which are here present, Pastor Zach, Brother Mike, the Frangelo family, the Russells, which has been a big support. And I want to thank you for every other member that doesn't go for the prayers and support. And my pastor used to say in the mission field, there's two type of people, the givers and the goers. So, but thank you for supporting the goers. our pastor passed away in 2022 or COVID, and we have a new pastor since last year, but we were in the transition, having a new pastor. It was a little difficult, and then we're getting working together, and I really appreciate his support and his prayers. He already knows that we are here with y'all. We also oversee the cafeterias. Also, Mexico Mission Ministry is partnering with Power Ministry. That is a group of men that comes to the border once a year and do construction work. We do churches, new buildings, cafeterias, additions. The cafeterias are inside the school. A few years ago, we found this opportunity because the state is providing, has a feeding program available and provide ingredients and equipment. And this is a great opportunity to missionaries to do the building inside the educational institution. And then the meal is only 10 cents a day. And then with 50, 75 cents, you can feed a child for a week. So it's a huge blessing. Once Power Ministry leaves, we establish relationship with the principals in order to bring teams and have any Christian activity. Really is a huge blessing, because it's against the law, bring religion inside the schools, but just because the relationship we made, God is opening doors and giving us that favor to share the gospel with students and children. Our role has been helping, supporting ministries such as street ministry, compassion ministry, food distribution, construction. But lately, the Lord is equipping us in other areas. We have the opportunity to be in other countries, not just in Mexico, but we've been in Peru about 4 years ago. We've been in Nicaragua a couple times. And also we have a trip scheduled this year in the month of August to go to Nicaragua. Last year, my wife and Christy, they were able to have a women's conference. So this year is going to be different, which my friend Jerry and I will have a men's event, and we'll see how everything goes. Pastor Manuel is our facilitator in Nicaragua that is helping us to put the agenda and together in Nicaragua. We also had the opportunity to go to Tabasco, southern border of Mexico, close to the Chiapas, the south border of Mexico, and had the opportunity to work with 15 churches and be able to bless them with some backpack school supplies. So they were able to go to the Mayas communities in Chiapas, which they still speak the dialect. They speak Chol. This is a dialect the Mayas speaking in that area. We met a pastor that speak Spanish and Chol. It was cool to see that. Like I explained before, our role has been different the previous year, but preaching is not part of my nature. But as the Bible says in the book of Mark 15:16, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know that preaching is an essential objective of the Great Commission. And I feel like the Lord is equipping us in this area to fulfill His purpose in our lives. You probably know there's 53 countries around the world that the gospel hasn't been preached. The book of Romans is telling us in the chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how they shall believe in Him of whom they have not heard, and how they shall hear without a preacher. Jesus Christ predicted 2,000 years ago the hard work we have, and also indicated in the book of Luke 10:2, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. I made a research a few months ago, and over 158,000 people die every day, and only 66,000 die without having access to the gospel. That's every day. The book of Hosea, the chapter 4 and verse 6, you have access to your Bible. You can find the scripture, Hosea 4, chapters, verse 6. It says like this: my people are destroyed. In other versions says, my people die. Other versions says, my people perish because lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. In this world, as a believers, we are called to serve others and use our gifts and talents to benefit the church and the world. The Lord is calling us to go all the world and make disciples. You might say, that might not apply to me. That applies to missionaries. But our responsibility is teaching others about the Savior and all who proclaim the name of Jesus. I wish I was known about the gospel when I was younger. And I felt in my heart the Lord had a plan for me. 2 weeks later, after graduate, I became saved. And I started growing spiritually. And when we were having Bible studies, this particular scripture touched my heart and revealed me the following. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, says the following: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born, and I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And I knew that time God set me apart. Then I started attending to church and being a disciple. For 14 years, I was on the chair, and I felt the calling. I felt something in my heart that God was calling me to do something. Even if I was involved in some activities, like feeding or any other activities inside the church. And I used to question the Lord many times. What was the plan you have for my life? And I know the scripture revealed me in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not listeners only, deceiving yourself. And then this particular scripture, there's two keywords: doers and listeners. And what separates these two words is the obedience. the transition, in this transition is you might feel some fear because you don't know what to do. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 8, says the following. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you, and I will rescue you. Another version says, I will protect you. Because once we receive when I received this word, I felt fear because I didn't know exactly what God was calling me. And this scripture energized the step of obedience because we don't walk alone. He walked with us through the Holy Spirit. The time of listeners to become doers might differ, for some take longer than others. In my case, it took 14 years. Long time. But what I see, the church building is like a military fort that equips you, prepares you for the spiritual war outside these walls. This church is a building, and it's a place where you are taught, disciple, train, and empower to face any difficulties or any obstacles that the enemy is put in front of us. I have a friend that he often say this. We have a big task to empty hell and fill the heaven. How to become a doer? There are few things we can do to be a doer. Invest in time with people. Offer help where it's needed. Practice hospitality. Show forgiveness. Involve any Christian activity outside the church. Ask the pastor or leader if there's any area you can help. Put in practice what is preached. When you pray, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listen His voice and ask to help you to identify the area you can serve. Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon, and He's coming for a devoted church that is coming for the ones that claim His holy name, for the ones turning to Him and truly repent of their sins, for the ones to follow His commands, and the ones are confessing and believe on Him according to the book of Acts 16:31, for the ones are watching when He comes. Once we obey and respond His call, wherever area He assigned you, from that moment on, the Holy Spirit will direct your path. He will lead you to fulfill His purpose in bearing fruits through you. The calling is irrevocable. The calling is not an activity that we do for God. It's something we do with God. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 10, Christ Himself said this parting for us and says, the Father abiding in me does His work. So it's not us. It's no longer us anymore. It's God through us. Amen? But regarding service as God's word through us, we can have confidence, not in ourselves or our abilities, but God makes us adequate for whatever He gives us to do. The favor of God is upon us, as the Bible mentioned in the book of Psalms 90:17. Let the favor of the Lord our God to be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. How we can recognize God's favor in our lives? First, God's plan is to use your talents, your skills, to benefit or impact someone's life in their change and transformation. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit interfere in the natural world, removing any obstacle to fulfill His plan on the earth. Supernatural things occur in the atmosphere around you. Some Christians, they call this event as this call this remarkable event as a grace of God. The Greek word that Apostle Paul used is charis, which is translated as favor, gift, or kindness. Dear brothers, do not fear to take this step. God is with you. Just trust Him. If you haven't had experience to God's favor, I want to encourage you to share a testimony with someone. I'm sure it's going to impact or ignite someone's life. Expose yourself to some type of field that you feel comfortable, either feeding program, nursing home, food pantry, prison ministry, mission field, a mission trip. Our church has been doing a drive-through prayer every Monday and establish a relationship with our community. Pray for someone that is going through difficulties. Invest time in someone. Send a devotional every day or every week. God is not giving you a day because you need it. God is giving you another day because someone needs you. The Lord is giving us opportunity every day. The Lord is using those who are weak, humble, submissive, and obedient, so that He alone gets the glory. I would like you to bow your heart and meditate about this word, about this message. If you feel ready to say yes, God use me, then tell the Lord I'm available for work for Him in any ways He desires. The Lord will respond by placing the right people in front of you, by placing opportunities in the right time in your path. Maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the time where the Lord is calling to do something. Maybe today is the time where the Lord is showing an area that you can help and serve. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time, for this moment, for the opportunity to be here, for the word you place in my heart and share with this congregation. Help us, Lord, to open our spiritual eyes. Help us to focus on your plan. Speak to our hearts and remove any distraction the enemy is put in our path to fulfill his plan. Help us to identify any area to serve you, to please you, and allow to be every one of us be an instrument to serve others. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything you have done through us. Thank you for the ones I'm serving. And I ask you, Lord, if there's any member that would like to serve and would like to do something in your kingdom, give them that wisdom and direct their path to do something for your glory. Amen.